Startup Nation for the makers and breakers. Disrupt Radio.
Jules Lund here on Startup Nation. Now, business owners, you might be noticing changing trends in how your customers are interacting with your product and what they want from you as a company. Well, the Conscious Consumer Report from Cavill and Co. has just been released. It is their 9th research report. To surface the insights for you, we've invited in Hayley Cavill-Jaspers, the social entrepreneur, do-goodologist and director at Cavill and Co. Welcome, Hayley.
Thank you, Jules.
We originally met at a Reach event, did we? So for those who don't know, Reach is a foundation that was originally founded in Victoria by Jim Steins. And I was, I think, one of the first kids in the first course when I was 15. How did I look at the time?
So you were very young and handsome.
Oh.
You still are. Well, you're handsome. But you had blonde, spiky hair. And, yeah, I think you were leading one of the sessions. And
where was it?
St Kilda or South Melbourne or somewhere like that.
Yeah. Did I have a nose ring?
You may have.
Yeah, I was a feral rat, street rat, disgusting. I mean, I look at the photos now, my golly, I look like I needed a big shower.
The impact of that organisation is far-reaching, isn't it? So
yeah. Tell me about a do-goodologist. You're a do-goodologist.
I am.
It's unreal. Did you coin that?
I did. I made that term up.
Yep.
So I wrote a book called Do Goodology, which is all about the neuroscience of doing good and what happens when you do good for someone else. And I just thought, if I write a book about do goodology, why not call myself a do goodologist? People love it.
They do love it. And
better than a consultant, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Consultant is so boring.
It's very hard for me to introduce people. I call them coaches, whether they let me or not, because I don't want to introduce someone as a consultant.
Yeah.
I just go business coach. Okay, so the science around doing good is really fascinating, a little sexy. So we're going to talk about that a little later. In the meantime, let's talk about the Conscious Consumer Report. What did it first identify, other than the fact that you've spent 2 months away from your husband and he's done all the cooking because you've been busy with this thing?
It has been a lot of work. But essentially, we went to market in mid-July, so it's really current, and we interviewed over 1,000 Australians about, we looked at three things, corporate behaviour, consumer behaviour, so how they behave to send messages to companies, and then the other one was communication. And essentially what it's showing is that Australians are really angry at corporates for what they see as not doing enough to benefit society and the environment, but also their poor communication. They're using, you know, really broad motherhood statements, or they're going the other way and being way too technical and boring. And consumers want to see the tangible outcomes. You know, if you're a company and you say we're planting 1 million trees to offset carbon or whatever, show them the bloody trees. You know, don't just say you're doing it. So they want concrete evidence.
Can I be a devil's advocate here? Just because some will be listening thinking this. Why do companies owe everyone? Why are we angry at them? Why do we have this sense of entitlement? I mean, I just want them to give me the toothpaste because I paid for it, or the fruit juice. Why am I all of a sudden going, oh, my God, you're not changing the world fast enough and you're certainly not showing me how you're doing it? It's an interesting phenomenon that we as consumers are so demanding of brands when 20 years ago we were just happy to get our money's worth.
Absolutely. You're showing your age, Jules.
Yep.
My generation, which is the boomers, we're the ones that have really messed up society. And, of course, companies, in producing their products and services, they're screwing up the sea, they're screwing up the ocean, they're messing up the planet.
Yeah, right.
They're causing mental health problems by their products. So I think consumers these days are saying, look, enough. You can't just, you know, pursue profit and not be responsible for society. So that old model, the Milton Friedman model of the only responsibility of companies is to make a profit, that's rubbish now. Consumers want companies to actually solve problems.
I think you've nailed that. You certainly shut me up because, because here's what I just heard.
It is a young people thing, though. It's millennials and it's Gen Zs that really want companies to do this.
But here's what I just heard. I'm there saying, oh, why should companies do good? And what you're actually saying is you're really saying stop companies from doing bad. Because what I was missing was by creating the toothpaste, by creating the fruit juice, you've got plastics and, you know, so it's actually just going stop ruining the world. And you've already done some damage, so now go and plant some trees and show us photos of you planting the trees.
Well, fundamentally, the first thing to do is to look at the negative impacts that you're having on environment and society.
Yeah.
So look at packaging, look at waste, look at energy, all of those things. You have to do that first.
Mm.
And then once you've minimised that as much as you can, then look at how you can make maximum benefit, so do good in the world. So it's really important to do the internal cleanup first. If you just go above the line and do a big PR thing about, you know, the good that you're doing, people are just going to look at you and go, well, your company is still damaging the environment, so I don't believe you.
Yeah, amazing. Hey, stick around because we've got so much more from the Conscious Consumer Report from Cavill and Co. And we're going to find out if the power really does lie with the consumer, how far this goes, and how can you and your business make changes to appease these consumers and to develop a real social purpose. Find out next. Welcome back to Startup Nation. The Conscious Consumer Report from Cavill & Co. has just been released. It is their 9th research report. And to help us surface the insights, we have the director at Cavill & Co., Hayley Cavill-Jaspers. She is a social entrepreneur and a do-goodologist. Hayley, what was the most fascinating insight that came out of this particular report being your 9th?
In the past, so we've done this report a couple of times before and all the stats have gone up. So we know that the conscious consumer movement not only is global, but it's growing here in Australia. But we know that people will switch brands to support. So they'll switch brands to a company that's supporting a charity that they care about.
Okay.
And they'll also boycott. So about half will do this. But we introduced a new question this year about whether or not people will use their skill, i.e. change a job, because of a company's poor CSR reputation. And 22% of Gen Z said they will. So it's impacting not just employment, but it's also, you know, they're flexing their muscles at the checkout too.
Are there certain categories? Like, do you really feel, I'm just trying to think, what type of products are people going, nah? It would mainly be products in the home, like parenting products, like beauty and personal care, and I would think food and most consumer items in the supermarket is where they go, you know, as a family.
Yep, you're absolutely right. It's where it's easy. So everyday food items came tops in terms of people's propensity to switch brands to support a cause.
Yep.
Health and beauty came next, and then energy, surprisingly, was third. But I don't think anyone's going to change their bank, for example.
No.
That's a huge decision, or they might not buy a car just because it has good credentials in CSR. Although the environment is impacting choice in that regard. So, you know, people are buying more sustainable cars these days.
Yeah, but I would have thought QSR, like, you know, fast food restaurants, I don't think they would really care there as much. I mean, they would absolutely care, but it doesn't seem like anyone looks like they're changing the world from that front in fast food. Although then you go into things like ice cream, and Ben and Jerry's have been really adamant over decades of trying to be super conscious for that consumer. Does this stretch to small businesses as well as big corporates?
Look, I think the principles apply. Every company wants to fulfil on consumer expectations. Otherwise, you're going to struggle to survive in business.
Yeah.
And if this is, and this is now a mainstream requirement for companies to not only address their impacts on society and the environment, but also do good in the world. So, yes, it applies to even startups.
So if I was a startup and I was taking your insights from the Conscious Consumer Report, from what I'm hearing, I would potentially want to align my small business with a charity. And I'd probably want to align myself to a broad charity. I mean, this is the problem. People would go, all right, what do people respond to the most? The Cancer Council, because everyone's got an experience, or Beyond Blue because of depression. And if they see that I'm doing that, like, I just wonder, I get worried about the sort of It's not greenwashing, is it? What's that sort of purpose?
Well, there's greenwashing, there's pink washing, there's woke washing, there's every kind of washing. Yeah.
Because I remember at Reach, I remember many years ago, there was a nightclub that I was invited to, and they said, "Oh, we're going to give all profits to Reach." And so I went there, and they hassle the crap out of these charities. "Oh, we're going to give you money," and then, you know, the amount of resource that goes into it.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize was they were giving, you know, percentage of the profit, but they knew they weren't making any profit.
Right.
Like, it was just this big night. Everyone's giving items, you know, because it's the profit's going to a charity. So everyone's going, "Oh, I'll give you free drinks. I'll give you that." And then they make the night under the banner of some big event, and all the brands and sponsors get the noise. And then they actually didn't go, there was no money that went to charity. And I was just like, that's easily, you could bullshit and create something so big and everyone looks good, but yet at the end of the line, it's just a massive waste and a big distraction for a charity.
I hear you. Although I think in this day and age now, consumers are doing much more research.
Yeah.
And if they see something like that, that they've got the power in their in their phone to do research on how much money is actually going to the cause. And I think nowadays companies would be very foolish to actually do that because it's just too easy to be found out. And then it backfires and your intention, which is to look good, you end up not looking good.
Which is good. Yeah. They don't look good.
So the first thing you need to do, as a, whether you're a startup or an established company, is look at the impacts that you're currently having just in the day-to-day operations of your business before you even think about aligning with a charity. That is absolutely essential because if you can't show that you're doing that, it really does just look like a PR stunt or woke washing.
And what are some of the ways that you should be auditing your impact? Like, what are we talking here? Because I've got a business, 75 people around the world. What am I looking at here?
Yep.
I mean, am I looking at you know, ensuring that there's no, well, there's no plastic bottles. I'm trying to think what impact we're having. We're in co-working spaces.
Well, the thing is just talk to your customers, talk to your staff, and if you can do research, then do that as well. But find out what matters to them and then look at your impacts. It could be that you're using a lot of power.
Yeah.
So, you know, can you do better there? Can you offset some of that by planting some trees or something? Yeah. What about waste?
Mm-hmm.
What about your inclusivity? You know, are you employing people from diverse backgrounds?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things that constitute corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just think that giving money to charity is it.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's much more complex than that.
But there's a big difference between being socially responsible and actually having a social purpose.
Yes.
So, I mean, if I was to just start Googling brands and even small businesses, there wouldn't be too many of them that are declaring, "Hey, this is our chosen charity and, you know, we raise money throughout the year," or there wouldn't be much of that. Does a small business or entrepreneur have to have a social purpose?
I would say yes, and I think the more entrepreneurial organisations think who gives a crap, think thank you, those organisations are really taking on the big guys. Like thank you is taking on Unilever now in terms of market share. And that kind of organisation that does have a societal purpose at its core, it's not just about profit, is resonating much deeper with consumers these days than the big corporates who, to be honest with you, many of them are afraid. They're afraid to sort of make a big song and dance because they know they're going to be shot down.
Yeah, they're damned if they do and damned if
absolutely.
They don't.
But you'd have to do it anyway.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm keen to hear about your own personal journey. I mean, you came here originally from the UK, unless you're just faking that accent. But you became a matchmaker between businesses like a Vodafone or a Seek and Disney.
Yep.
How did that work and what was your original mission?
So I worked in marketing in London and I was on this pursuit of, you know, what's going to make me happy, and I thought it was money. And then at one point I had money and that wasn't making me happy. So I went travelling through Africa, India and Nepal, sat with mountain gorillas, got malaria, jar deer, dysentery, etc.
From the gorillas, wow. I remember that.
I got too close. And I ended up at Mother Teresa's mission scrubbing floors. And I remember thinking, these nuns, they've got nothing. They're sleeping on beds the size of prison beds, but they're happy. And they were so much happier than the miserable buggers I'd seen on the tube in London. So I realised that doing good in the world is what makes you happy. Mm. And then when I came to Australia, I married an Aussie, came to Australia. There is a story to that, but we won't go there. When I came to Australia, I started to do research on this. And, of course, with the neuroscience, which is fairly new, they can now monitor what happens in your brain when you do good for someone else.
We're going to put a pin in that because the answer is not what you would expect. It might make you clear your calendar and start doing more good. Up next, can doing good for others fuel your success in the business world and get your rocks off on the side? Find out next.
Startup Nation for the makers and breakers. Disrupt Radio.
Jules Lund here on Startup Nation. Well, the Conscious Consumer Report from Cavill & Co. has just been released. It's their ninth research report, and you can download it at cavill.com.au/research. It'll help guide you on exactly how you can pitch your services better to consumers who care about your social responsibilities. I'm with Hayley Cavill-Jasper. She's a director at Cavill & Co. and she's also a do-goodologist. Hayley, how did you become a do-goodologist?
Well, I worked in London for about 12 years in marketing and PR, and got to the top of my tree and thought I should be happy. I've got money in the bank. And I wasn't. So I packed up, went travelling through Africa, India and Nepal. My last couple of weeks, I went to Mother Teresa's mission, was scrubbing floors and just looked at these nuns and thought, you're the happiest people I've ever seen in my life. And so I went back to London wanting to work for a non-profit. And then when I moved to Australia, I wanted to work for a non-profit here, but didn't really work out, and I didn't want to go back to corporate. So I thought, well, maybe I could be the person in the middle that brings the two together. So I set up my company 28 years ago.
And so how did it originally work?
The company?
Yeah, like the matchmaking of companies. And who's at the other side?
Charities and non-profits. So I first of all started working with companies. My very first client was AMP.
Oh, cool.
And I remember the phone rang. I had a desk phone and a fax at the time before social media. And this lady from AMP, and I remember going next door to the guy in the next office going, who's AMP? Because I really didn't, you know, I was fairly new. And he said, oh, only one of Australia's largest companies, Hayley. So I flew off to Sydney, and I partnered them with an organisation for 4 years. And then my next partnership was with Kellogg's, and I partnered them with Kids Helpline, and that one made news. So I was in the paper and on television, and that was pretty much it. I was off, and I've just finished my 54th partnership.
Wow.
So I've built partnerships for Disney, Vodafone, Seek, which is now 23 years in. So I build long-term partnerships that aligned to the company's core business, but also obviously does good in the world.
And so is your craft aligning them with a perfect match?
Yes, absolutely.
And what's that perfect match look like? I'm interested in it from the not-for-profit side.
Yep. When I work with a company, I go pursuing a non-profit. So I go and find one for them. And it really does depend on what their objectives are. So I work with a company for 2 to 3 months before we even go and look. And that's to help them understand what is it that they want from partnering with a charity. Is it about engaging Gen Z staff? Is it about positioning their brand in a particular way? Is it reaching a new audience? So be really, really clear up front. Why do you want to partner with a charity? Because you could partner with any old charity and that might work for a couple of months. But if you want a long-term partnership that's going to survive, you know, managing director changes, marketing director changes, it needs to be a good strategic fit. And that's the trick.
That's really insightful, because if it meant only something to one person.
Precisely.
Because they had an experience with that unique niche not-for-profit cause and then they move on.
Yep.
Then, yeah, I see.
Yep.
Have charities ever called you a fairy godmother? Because you're basically you will reach out to them and say, hey, you know, I've been looking at your cause online and, you know, it's really connected and authentic and you're doing really well. How would you like me to introduce you to Kellogg's who'd like to support you?
Yeah, they do call me Robin Hood and I love dishing out the money. I also work on the other side. I've got another business because running one isn't enough for me.
God.
So I've got another business that trains up non-profits because at the end of the day, there's no point me introducing a major company that's professional and innovative to a charity if they're not geared up to actually be a good partner with that company.
Yep.
So I work on that side as well, but through a different company.
Wow. What is the science behind doing good?
Okay, so there's fairly new neuroscience. It's about 12 years old where they've obviously put an fMRI thing on people's head to monitor what happens in the brain when you do good for another person.
Yeah.
And what they've discovered is that it releases, when you do good, it releases a chemical cocktail of oxytocin and dopamine.
Yeah.
And there's only four things on the planet that produce that chemical cocktail.
Four things?
Four things.
All right. Is it ice cream?
No. So ice cream will give you one. That'll give you the reward hormone, dopamine.
Yeah.
Whereas oxytocin is the bonding hormone. So there's a bit of a clue there.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what the four are because I know you're dying to hear.
Yeah.
So it is sex. It is childbirth. It is breastfeeding and it's doing good. So for blokes,
I can't give birth. I've tried.
Precisely. So you've just got to do more good in the world.
Yeah,
because you're out of options.
Because I can't get sex.
Precisely. And you know, the powerful thing is even watching someone doing good releases this chemical cocktail. Even watching someone doing good.
Yeah.
That's how powerful it is. We are wired to do good. As humans, we're wired to do it. So, you know, why aren't we doing more of it?
That's amazing. I think watching someone do good doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel guilty. But I certainly know, and I certainly know watching someone give birth did not make me feel good either.
Which end were you?
So it is amazing. I tell you what, I started my life as a selfish kid, right? I think that's fair to say, and into a teen that was pretty selfish. And then I probably met you originally, I was working for the Reach Foundation. I was running sessions for young people and helping them, and I felt amazing. I think I took for granted that. I mean, I think I got to about, 30, and I went, oh, shit, how am I doing youth work, working, you know, as a life coach? I never really set out on this path, so it was sort of like I had this, and then I sort of was arrogantly going, I just want fame and fortune and express my passion in TV and radio. So I've gone off and done a lot of that and built my company. But, yeah, I feel really starved. There was a time there I was like, oh, like you in UK, getting to your top of your tree and you go, this isn't very satisfying. And I never, ever, ever, like I've done some cool things. People said, you've had the dream job, you know, traveling for getaway around the world, you know, in my 20s, you know, business class, go on African safaris, not pay for anything. And I never felt like it was a better job than running workshops out in secondary schools in high school. I'd go out in my old Valiant and I'd have my stereo and I'd be hiking by myself around Victoria and then, you know, into New South Wales. And I'd run these workshops and I'd get in my car at the end and I just felt so connected.
Yeah.
And I loved these young people. I was like, they're all, to their teachers, they're their biggest smart asses. But yet if you give them the permission to be authentic and, you know, these guys are all apologizing to each other and thanking each other. And they're like 15. I'm like, you know, you just guys needed the safe environment to be real and look at you. And I used to just love where they would take the room. I'd guide it, but they would go there. But then, yes, lately I realized I haven't been doing good enough. Like I haven't been generous enough and I felt quite depressed, right?
Mm.
And then what I figured out the other day was now when I feel shit, like proper, like I'm fragile, I'm overwhelmed, the first thing I do, and I know it's a selfish hack, but I just go, whose day can I make?
Yeah. Yep.
And far out.
Precisely.
It is phenomenal.
Yep. And that's fine if it's a selfish reason, because the fact is that you do it. And the great thing about entrepreneurs these days setting up businesses, they can channel that desire to do good through their business.
Yeah.
You know, they're not hamstrung by a major corporation that might have rules and regulations about what to do. And that's what's so exciting, I think, for startups these days. You know, they can make a profit and they can run a successful business, but they can do good through that business too, because consumers want them to do it.
Many people would feel, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough resource. But they also, that strange thing happens, like when you're at a gym where, or you do exercise, and they say, I don't have the energy to do exercise. The strange thing happens in that you actually, the exercise gives you more energy, even though you're exerting yourself.
Yep.
And I dare say, when you feel like you don't have enough energy to do good because it's a distraction in your business, I guarantee something will be unlocked, that you will actually get greater energy, a greater sense of achievement, of pride, and all of these things will build the momentum. Hayley Cavill-Jaspers, she is a social entrepreneur, do-goodologist, and the director at Cavill & Co. They've just released their 9th research report. It's the Conscious Consumer Report, and you can get it online at cavill.com.au/research. Thank you so much, Hayley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Startup Nation, for the makers and breakers. Disrupt Radio.